bless you.
God bless you.
Sister Karen, I'm going to impose on you to remain at your seat for a few moments longer while we dismiss the rest of the musicians. And turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now I know you were all expecting continuation of the great women of the Bible. But I will be completely honest with you. I haven't studied out the next one yet. It's going to be a good one, okay? But I haven't. So when I was asked to minister, I went, okay. And I got in my notes, actually this evening, and I just found something that encouraged me, that set my heart on fire a little bit, okay? And so I thought I'd bring it here and try and encourage you and set your hearts on fire a little bit as well, okay? So we're going to minister this evening, the Lord being willing, on the greater glory of God. The greater glory of God, okay? These are notes that I wrote from before I came to the USA. So it's quite a while. But sometimes I surprise myself and I look back at old notes, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's rather good. You know? Not because I have any ability in myself except what God put in me. And if he put something genuine in me that was genuine and truthful nearly 20 years ago, it's still the truth today, if it was the truth back then. So tonight, I just want to encourage, to be honest, I want to encourage myself and I want to encourage you. I want God to come down and set our hearts on fire. Let's start by reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 7. And it says, but if the ministration of death, that's the law, so written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glorious, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is on their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Father, be with us tonight. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking of some way to describe the word, what encapsulate, what does the glory of God mean? What does that word glory actually mean? And you look in the Greek and it goes doxa, which is where we get doxology from, you know, something that's glorious. And it goes back to a root about what are your thoughts about God? And what came to me was how great thou art. Which is why I asked you to stay at the piano. I'm probably going to sing it wrong, but you think I'm just going to sing the first, and you can sing with me. But if you sing this verse with me and this chorus, what you're doing is you're capturing something of the glory of God in this, because it's what you think about him. All right? Do we have a key? Okay. It's probably going to be too high for me, but we'll give it a go. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Thank you. And that's a song that was originally written in Swedish, and it's retained its essence of saying, I'm thinking, I'm looking around me, and I'm seeing something in nature that's telling me something about God. And it was translated into Russian and into German and into English and into all these languages all over the world, because it contains in it a truth that when you actually think, you can see the glory of God all around you, right? So when we think of the glory of God, it's not about the brightness of God. It's not about the splendor of God. It's not about, oh, how glorious God is. It's about, I'm just blown away by who God is as he is expressing himself. Okay? And there have been many manifestations of the glory of God. There are many ways that the God has made his glory, or what you should really think of him, known to men. And you could say the first way, well, if you like, how many people have ever sat down and wondered, who am I really? Who am I? What kind of person am I? Has anyone ever wondered that? Okay. Who am I? God has never wondered, who am I? He says, I am who I am. I know exactly who I am. Okay. I am who I am. And he says, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you who I am. And as you start to understand who I am, you'll start to understand my glory. And so here's a wonderful thought. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that light was glorious. And there was darkness and there was light. And everything that was in that light was all of creation. All colors were there. All the energy was there. All the beauty. Everything that was ever there was right there in that spark of light. But God said, you know, if I leave it at that, people understand something about my glory, but they won't understand everything about me. They won't get to know all of me. They won't know the greater glory of God. And so we decided to start creating things. The sun and the moon, the stars, the plants. Okay? All of these things to manifest the glory of God. And here's the amazing thing. All right, and you got to remember, this is in my notes before I lived in Minnesota, okay? I wrote down snowflakes are one of the most unappreciated works of the great artist that is God, okay? Because we see snowflakes around here, we're like, oh, no, it's like gonna get the shovels out, okay? But you think about it, in all the times they've studied snowflakes, the consensus is that no two snowflakes are identical. Okay, I don't know how they tell, because you know it's like you could potentially get some that are the same in some, but in all the studying, no two, And you think about that attention to detail, that, and you've seen pictures of snowflakes and that, and they're beautiful, and they're all of a same pattern, but they've all got similarities and they've all got differences, and it's amazing. And you say, wow, what kind of mind, what kind of creature, what kind of being came up with that idea and just set the universe so in order that every time that little seed in the middle of a snowflake fell and the ice started growing around it, that it would turn out different. And you wouldn't even know it till the invention of microscopes. Okay? And God says, that's the kind of God I am. That's the kind of detail that I love, that I'm going to generate. That's my glory expressed. Okay? Butterflies. How many people have seen the wings of a butterfly? Lovely. We got some caterpillars. We're watching them grow from like tiny, tiny eggs to small caterpillars to, big caterpillars to butterflies and that chrysalis, the metamorphosis. And that's amazing. Amazing to watch. And to see the patterns on the, but have you ever seen butterfly feathers, those scales on their wings under a microscope? Do it sometime. They're gorgeous. They're iridescent. They're finely designed, one little thing at a time. So the closer and closer we look, the more we see God's glory expressed in hidden ways. And God says, in all of these things, I want to show you something about myself so that you can glorify me. And if he's the God of creation to you, you can glorify him as the God of creation. But he says, there is a greater glory that I want to know. You look at how glorious creation is. He says, I don't really care about creation. That's just my side. That's just what I did while I was thinking about things being bored, if you like. He said, one soul is worth 10,000 worlds that I've created like that, because that's where I'm going to express the true glory of what I am, the greater glory of God. And brothers and sisters, we tonight, right now, are in the middle of a great play that God is unfolding, and he's given you a part, and he's given me a part, he's given all of us a part to express what God is, the greater glory of God. Now, how many people know who Charlie Chaplin was? Put your hand up. Okay. You don't know? Okay. He was a comedian, film star in the early days of black and white movies. Okay. And he did a lot of funny things. And I was reading one time about a child actor who had acted with him and was describing how he had directed, because he was a writer, director, actor, and all kinds of things, his own stuntman. And he said he was there when Charlie Chaplin was trying to describe to him, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to walk across the room. And he said he would walk across the room like a little child. And he said, and then the bully's going to come in, and he'd go over to where the bully would come in, and he'd come in just like a bully, he said, and then the child's going to run away. And you could say he was acting out every little part. And if he could have, he would have done all the roles, but he couldn't. He had to have that supporting cast to support him. He said, but you could see the vision that he had in his mind, that he was trying to make other people, can you catch the vision to produce the scene that I want, right? And that's what God is trying to do to us. He's saying, I could express all of this without you. But I've decided that I'm going to give each of you a vision, that if you act out that vision just in the right way, you are going to bring to pass the scene that I have in my mind. And it's going to tell people something about me. And it's going to tell people not just something about me, something about you too. And we're going to express the greater glory of God. I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself. But you understand, God expresses himself in different ways throughout time. Now just think about it. How would it have been to be in Egypt and to see the glory of God express himself? And he said, I'm going to express myself, and I've raised up Pharaoh so I can show my glory on Pharaoh. I can show people who I am. And there's a very interesting phrase there. It says, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Was that unfair? We tend to think of it as hardened. God put in Pharaoh, an impulse to resist him. But there's the Hebrew also talks, he strengthens Pharaoh's heart. And he said to Pharaoh, I'll give you strength that you can use however you like. And Pharaoh chose to use that strength to resist God. He could have used that strength to resist himself and let the children of Israel go, but he was of that character that when he got strength, when he really thought about it and said, no, I'm going to make my own decision, every time, he made the decision against the word of God. Okay? But think about it. You're a slave there, and Moses comes and signs, small signs and wonders, and then big signs and wonders, and hail and darkness, and everything that's being expressed, you're thinking, wow, this is my God. This power being expressed is my God. This miracle, this opening of the seas and walking through on dry land, that's the power, that's the glory of my God expressing himself against the armies of Pharaoh, against the magicians of Egypt, against the situation, this manna in the wilderness, this water flowing from the rock, amazing things. Look, there's a pillar of fire that's guarding us by night, and there's a cloud that's moving supernaturally by day. Hey, wouldn't you have liked to have been there and see the glory of God manifest? A powerful, visible, you know why God doesn't do that these days? Yeah? It's because it didn't make a difference. How many of those people that saw all those things actually entered into the promised land? Well, we say two, but that was from the men. There may have been more sisters who entered in, right? Because it was the men of war who had to die in the wilderness. Okay? So we say two, but that's just the brothers, all right? The sisters, there were probably more. All right? Not saying that some of the sisters didn't perish in the wilderness as well because of their unbelief, but just saying we don't know exactly how many, but not many entered in. In spite of all that manifestation of the glory of God. So God has proved himself to be glorious and visible and powerful, and also proved that for us it doesn't make a difference. We still have to catch a revelation. We still have to catch the vision. And God was trying to give the vision to the people of Israel, and they're like, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. My kids are about to die. And he's like, but there's a vision. I'm going to lead you. Look at the cloud. Am I leading you out to kill you? Look at how I delivered you from the army. You think I can't provide food? But I'm hungry. They never caught the vision, so they could never act in the way that God wanted them to act. And so we have to understand it's not about seeing signs and wonders and miracles and like feeling the presence of God and the glory of God. That's not going to make a difference in your life. It's catching the vision and the revelation that God has for you and stepping out in that by faith despite everything going on around you, because that's the way we express the greater glory of God. Even though they had a prophet whose face shone with a holy light, so bright that they had to put a veil on his face in order to talk to him. Yeah? A few months later, they were like, who are you, Moses? Everyone in the congregation is holy. You're not the only holy one. He didn't go, oh yeah, didn't see your face shining on the mountain. Okay? Despite that evidence and that proof, they still had rebellious hearts. And we have to be careful that despite whatever evidence and proof of the glory of God is presented to us, it comes down to what's in your heart. Are you going to be rebellious, or have you caught the vision and are you following God? So amazing. But that, as we read, That is the ministry that passed away. That's the ministry of death. And there's something more glorious, he said, that would come. But before, well, God loves to show his glory in different ways. Here's another way. This is 2 Kings chapter 6. You can turn there if you want, but I'm going to read it so you don't have to. The king of Syria warred against Israel, took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not in such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself not once nor twice. That's some world-class level intel there, okay? Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? Who's betraying our secrets? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that's in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore he sent thither horses, chariots, and a great host. They came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen up early and gone forth, and behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Why? Because, again, he'd not seen a vision. He'd not caught a vision. Okay? But Elisha had the vision. So he knew, I'm safe. Doesn't matter. If I'm in the will of God, I'm in the safest place, even if it's the most dangerous place. Okay? But the glory of God was all around him, but it was hidden to his servant's eyes. I don't even know if Elisha saw that. Okay? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say that Elisha had visuals on the host of God. It just says he had faith. More is with us than with them. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Ah, God surrounds, the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivers them. The Lord is my strong tower. Listen, there is no powers in the physical world that compare to the powers in the spiritual world. Okay? I don't care how fit you are, what kind of firearm you're carrying, what kind of training you've had, you cannot stand against an evil spirit. Okay? But there's no spiritual power that can stand against our God. And even if you never see the angels that are with you, and I've told you this story before, haven't I, about the brother in Holland? Okay? Someone was upset with him, and he said he was going to attack him, and he went down a narrow passageway, and the guy was sitting on a fence, and he was all alone, and he walked right past him. The guy never did a thing, and years later he asked, why didn't you jump me when I was in that alleyway? He said, what, with those two big guys that were with you? It's like, he didn't see the angels, but they were with him. Read the book, A Cop for Christ. It's amazing that. How many people have read that book? Cop for Christ. Amazing book. There's a guy, and the Lord told him, go and be a cop in New York for 25 years, you know, serve your entire term, and then I'll give you a ministry. All right? And he's got amazing stories in there where he said he was arresting somebody in a subway platform, and the mob that was there got angry, and he said this big black guy just grabbed him and said, come on, and pulled him out of the crowd. And he said, when he talked to the other officers that were with him, they were like, that was amazing the way you went through that crowd. And he said, well, the big black guy was, you know, he did it. They're like, there was no one but you. What do you mean, that big black guy? What is it? It's the angels of the Lord encamping around them. They're fearing him and saying, I'm here to protect you. I'm here to guide you. And even if you can't see them, those spirits, yeah, like Brother David said, in the name of Jesus. Don't you love that kind of a testimony? You know, the shamans come and they do their rituals, and the mullahs come and they pray to their gods, and the Hindus come and they ask and they do their incantations. And some little missionary comes and says, I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. And everything changes because of the name of Jesus Christ, because the name of Jesus Christ brings the glory of God into the situation. That glory is a greater glory than anything else in this world. That faith in that name is what created the whole universe. Faith in that name changes situations even when you can't see them. The name of Jesus is a name above all name. And one day you are going to look back at your life and God will open your eyes just as he opened the eyes of the servant of Elisha here. And you'll look back at your life and you'll see, so wow, so many times there was God and I was completely unaware. Like a little baby learning to walk, running headlong towards something or a swimming pool, going to bang into a tree, and dad just, whoops, and they just keep on running, happily oblivious that they didn't, face plant into something dangerous, okay? And we'll look back and we'll be like, oh, that was the glory of God made manifest in our lives. Amen. So you look at that, in appearance to the natural eye, no glory to behold. Many times we think that's the case. But just as a great artist hides his messages in pictures that appear so simple, but you start looking at them, you start thinking about them, you start uncovering secrets in them, the glory of God is hidden in a way that's only visible to the spiritual eyes, hidden in plain view. Now we know, because the Bible tells us there was a time when God said, okay, I've manifested myself spiritually in these amazing ways in the Old Testament, but there's a greater glory to be manifest. Emmanuel, God with us. He says, I'm going to come down. I'm going to show people what I'm really like. Everyone has this concept of what God is like, of the kind of God that you would like. Wouldn't you like a God that, you know, he's like, he gives you the ability to just move people out of the way when you need it, you know, out of the way. And you like to have, you know, the Cop for Christ, he tells the story of he went out in a patrol car with a new recruit. He said, who had obviously been watching too many TV shows about police cars. And he said, they had a call come in. They're right by a busy intersection. He said, the rookie just turned on the lights, turned on the siren, and shot out across the junction. Okay, police cars aren't meant to do that. They are technically meant to give way and obey the traffic laws, and you're meant to stop for the lights, you know, the sirens, and give them way. But if they crash into somebody and they haven't obeyed the traffic laws, that's actually their liability. So he said he looked, and Drake, he was going to crash, T-bone a car. And he said, he just shut his eyes. He couldn't watch. And he opened his eyes. They were at the other side of the junction. Okay? And the rookie was holding the steering wheel and shaking, saying, we went through the car. We went through the car. Okay? And we know someone else that's happened to, right? Okay? Brother Louis gave that testimony as well. Similar thing. We serve an amazing God. The boundaries of this physical matter don't matter to him. But he's not here to, like, be a show-off. Oh, look at the magic tricks I can do. He's there to be a present help in a time of trouble. But he said, I'm going to show my glory. And not in the palaces, not in the temples, not in the places that men would choose. But in the place of God's choosing, in the place of God's greatest expression of his glory so far, not with a great trumpet fanfare, the whole world didn't know, but softly, dirtily, humbly, unknown, Prince of Glory, came to the world. And when we get to Mary, and just when I understood this, it just amazed me. Here's Jehovah. He says to Mary, Mary, I'm going to come as a baby in you. And she says, be it unto me. But essentially, she's saying, Mary, listen, I've got this whole plan of redemption, and it's dependent on this little baby that's going to be impregnated in your womb. You're going to have to bring him up. You're going to have to potty train him. You're going to have to do all these things. And by the way, it'd be really handy if you didn't drop him on his head, because there's a work for him to do when he's older. Imagine that, holding God, saying, the expression of my glory is to put myself as a helpless infant in the hands of a young virgin mother and hope that she's careful with me. Right? That's just amazing. But that's the glory of God manifest in a greater way than all the miracles in Egypt, in a greater way than the angels surrounding Elisha. There's the glory of God, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise by their own craftiness. Yeah. Isaiah 29, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouths and with their lips honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by precept of men, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among the people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, the understanding of the prudent men shall be hid. So true. To recognize the glory of God, you have to put away your thoughts of what you think the glory of God is and accept what the glory of God is as he manifests it. And we are in the day of the greater glory of God, the glory that was revealed on earth in a totally unexpected way. And you think about, you compare the two manifestations of the glory of God there. The one, great pillar of fire, signs and wonders, bolts of lightning from heaven with the hail, and fire, and the angel of death passing over the land, and great power and great signs. And the other, with a man talking to God, his face shining when he comes down so everyone can see. And then another, a man talking to God and being tired and falling asleep in the front of a boat. A man captured as a criminal, his beard pulled out of his face and slapped and beaten and bruised. To a natural man, which God do you want to serve, yeah? Which is expressing the greater glory of God. But to spiritual eyes, there's a greater glory of God in the creator of the heavens and earth, hiding himself in weakness. But he said, that's not glorious enough for me. My manifestation in Jesus Christ, in my own personal body, is not glorious enough for me. He said, I haven't finished yet. It doesn't show who I am well enough that I'm satisfied. Okay? And he said, All right, Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 6. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, to set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under his feet, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but what do we see? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, of whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. God said, it's not enough for me to manifest in a virgin-born son. I got to go one step better. He said, Satan, what's the worst you could do to the human race to stop me manifesting in them, if you like? And Satan said, oh, I got some ideas. You know, you can think of it with Job. He says, hey, Satan, come here. He says, what do you think of this? Have you considered my, you know, Satan didn't come to God and say, can I have a go at Job? God taunted Satan with Job. And he said to him, you see my servant? There is nothing you can do to him that will make him reject me. He says, I'm so proud of him. He is manifesting my glory and there is not a thing you can do about it. And Satan said, mm-hmm. Give me a try. God said, okay. Here's your first try. And then Satan came back and God said, look, he's suffering, but he still loves me. And Satan says, yeah, that's because you didn't let me try hard enough. He says, go have another go. It's like, thanks, God. Thanks for pointing me out. But what is it? Okay. Job manifests the glory of God. And God said, I have a people, Satan, that are going to manifest my glory. And when they manifest my glory, it's going to be against everything you can put in their way, and they're still going to be faithful to me. Okay? And we are the manifestation. He, Jesus, is the captain of our salvation to do what? To bring many sons to glory. What's the glory he's bringing them to? Our own glory? No, the glory of God manifests in us because we are part of him. So in a way, it is our own glory. Now, don't get a big ego about that, all right? But you are part of God. You are here to manifest his glory. You are the greatest manifestation of the glory of God that could possibly be in this day. That's what God has called you to. All right? Not in pillars of fire. Not in great signs and shining faces, although we might like to have that from time to time. Not in speaking of tongues, not in the glory of a virgin-born son suffering and dying for us, but a greater glory yet, the glory of Christ in you, the glory of Christ in me. Colossians 1, 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That in our sinful bodies, in our fallen state, in all of our weakness and infirmities, in all the trials we go through, in all we look at ourselves and we say, I'm pretty hopeless. Yet the glory of God is hidden in us. Beholding the face of Christ. Get close, read your Bible, pray every day. Behold the face of Christ and be changed into that glory of God. He's changing us from glory to glory. We're manifesting the glory in this generation. And Jesus said, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So just as much as Jesus was God, is just as much as you're in Jesus and you are God. Here to manifest the glory of God. And how are you meant to manifest that glory? Not by following the example of your own thoughts. Bring me some enemies that I may slay them. You know, let us cast down fire from heaven. And you don't know what spirit that is. Well, I hope you do. That's your carnal, fleshly spirit that you have to fight against. That's what the burden that God allowed Satan to put on you to prevent the manifestation of the glory of God. And if you live in that, you will prevent the manifestation of the glory of God. And God says, I want you to make it as hard as possible so you can see how good I am. And Satan said, challenge accepted. Yeah? But God said, you haven't got a chance because I've chosen a people to manifest that, to perfect. We should know that Jesus is in the Father, we are in him, he is in us, perfecting us, his work, not our work, making the bride without spot or wrinkle, manifesting, man, I'm a little bit tired, excuse me for that, lapse of English, manifesting the greater glory of God in this day. What a privilege, okay, to be called to that position, right? To look at Jesus and to see his glory. When I, in awesome wonder, consider all the works, worlds thy hands have made, and to say, as I see that, I am changed slowly, unconsciously, subconsciously. It's not a work, it's not an effort that I have to put into it. I just have to behold his glory. I have to see what he looks like. I have to look on his face. And as I look on his face and see who he is, see what he is, see what spirit and see his glory, I'm going to absorb that in the same way, you know, how is it that a cow eats green grass and gets white milk? Okay? I remember there was an experiment they did where they actually figured out how to produce milk from grass. How to process grass to produce all the, you know, at least a facsimile of the proteins, the lipids, whatever makes it up. But it was green, you know. So I was like, okay. Cows eat grass, produce milk. Sheep eat grass, produce wool. How? Nobody knows. It just happens. Why does it happen? It's the glory of God manifest. You eat of your spiritual food. You behold the face of Christ. You will be changed into that glory. How? I don't know. God knows. It'll be for his glory. Because if there was a formula for it, you would produce the glory of God, but it would probably be tinted green or something, you know, unnatural. Okay. But we're called in this day to be the greater glory of God. I hope that's a blessing to you. I hope that energizes you. Whatever the struggle you're going through, whatever trial you're going through, just look around you. See, find those places where you can see God. You'll see God in the Bible. You'll see God listening to the preachers. So that vision, that thing that comes to you and that says, I can see God. I can see him in nature. I can see him in the stars. I can see him in a conversation with a brother, with a sister. And when you see God, just say, oh, that's just amazing that I see God in you. Because when you behold God in others, not just here, but when you see God in any place, you're beholding the face of God and you're being changed into the glory of God, moment by moment, in a mysterious, secret way that we don't understand, but we don't have to understand. All we have to do is say, yeah. Do we have that chorus in there? God said it, and I believe it, and that's the way it's going to be. You know that one. Do we know that one? We don't know that one. Oh, you must know that one. I guess I'm going to have to teach you. Mm-hmm. Very, very simple. God said it, and I believe it, and that's the way it's going to be. God said it, and I believe it, and that you'll surely see. Let me... see. God said it and I believe it and that's the way it's gonna be. God said it and I believe it and that you'll surely see. See, really simple. God said it and I believe it and that's the way it's gonna be. God said it and I believe it, and that you'll surely see. Well, God, He said it and I believe it, and that's the way it's going to be. God said it and I believe it, and that you'll surely see. Amen. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've chosen us to manifest your glory, and may we see your face in so many places where you would reveal it. May we not be like Elisha's servant and pass by things without seeing you hiding in them. Lord, may we shine spiritually as bright stars that others could be attracted to your glory and say, "Ah, there's something different about you. Can I know what it is?" And we can say, "Let me introduce you to the source of all glory." May we walk like Jesus, humbly and sweetly, and manifesting your love to others. Because if He is truly in us, and we are in Him, and He is in the Father, that means we're in the Father. That means we're a part of you. May we walk as befitting a part of you, as Jesus walked, showing us how to manifest your glory. And may you keep us on that path until your glorious second coming, where you'll come and catch away your bride. May we be prepared for that. Manifest your glory. May you encourage us. May you strengthen us if we're going through a time like Job did, when you have to manifest your glory in very uncomfortable ways. But trust in your plan and never, never, never forsake your name, a name above all names. If I've said anything tonight, Lord, that's in error, I pray that you'd make it clear, bring it to your light. But the words that you've spoken, Lord, may they sink down into our hearts and into our souls and draw us one step closer to you and bring us one step closer to manifesting the greater glory of God in this day. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Any promise in the Bible that you want, yeah, to manifest the glory of God, what do we say? God said it and I believe it, and that's the way it's going to be. God bless you all. God said it and I...